Unlock the past and safeguard your memories with scanmyphotos.com. Here's our special promo code, GODIGITAL, to get a whopping up to 50% off your photo scanning order. Don't let your cherished moments fade away. Digitize them now with precision and care. Whether it's old slides, photos, or films, bring them into the digital age and relive those precious memories. This is an affiliate promotion, meaning we may earn a commission if you take advantage of this fantastic deal. Act fast, preserve your history, and save big with Go Digital at scanmyphotos.com. Hi, I'm Maureen Taylor, the photo detective. I really love family photographs, all of them, from the mystery images you find in shoeboxes and albums to the pictures you snap with your digital devices. No mystery is too small. A simple question about an image can lead to new stories of your ancestors. This means you can count on me to help you identify the people in them, offer solutions for preserving and organizing them, and yes, even guide you in the various ways to gather and share picture stories with your relatives. My guest today is Rosie Grant. And Rosie, you have a really interesting pursuit that you do. And I know everyone that listens to this podcast is going to love it because genealogists love to go and hang out in cemeteries. You want to tell us something about yourself?
Hi. Well, thanks for having me. Yes, I cook recipes that I find on gravestones, which actually started as a library science project at the University of Maryland and has, taken a life of its own at this point.
But how did you come up with that idea? I mean, you have this library science program that you're in, and you have to create a project. And did you already know about the recipes on the gravestones?
Or? I did not. Yeah, it's such a weird entry point. So I was studying at UMD in library and archives projects, and it was right at the beginning of the pandemic that I started my program, which in some ways was great for the sake of time, but also a lot of archives had closed down. It was unsafe to go to places. And so I was in a class that I needed an internship. It was just part of the program. And I needed something pretty flexible because I was working full time. So I ended up interning in the archives of Congressional Cemetery. So I was in the cemetery archives. They are not every cemetery has this per se, but Congressional has a full-time archivist who is amazing, just such a natural storyteller. And I was making a online exhibition of different groups of information. You know, they have these tours. So basically, I was turning these tours into a digital archive of sorts. And then on the side, I was also in a class where I had to create a TikTok. And it was at the same time. So my professor was like, you should make your TikTok about your cemetery internship. So at first, it was just like general gravestones and grave talk content. And then that was when I started expanding beyond just Congressional. I learned about all these other interesting gravestones, including, of course, recipes on gravestones. And the first one I heard about was Naomi Odessa Miller Dawson, who's buried in Brooklyn, New York. And it wasn't just that like she liked cookies. It was her actual ingredients to her specific spritz cookie recipe. And so I was like, well, I'll try it and see how it does. And the world kind of exploded for me. There was just a lot of people who kind of similar to me. I was, this is so interesting. I had never heard of this before. And while learning more about Naomi, I learned that there were several other people, mostly women, who had recipes in their gravestones too.
Yeah, it's so interesting, right? Because you have people in your family who don't want to part with that recipe, that family recipe. You know, my husband's grandmother went to the grave with her recipe. She would not share it with me, would not. And I spent years trying to recreate it. It was a pretty simple little cracker spread thing, but I could never get it quite right. And I just love the fact that the family has decided that this is their person's favorite recipe. It's their signature recipe. We all have them. And they put it on the gravestone as a testament to them. I love that idea.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. I mean, so even talking with several family members, and even there's one woman named Peg Neal, who's still alive in Arkansas, who, when her husband died, they both put up their gravestones together just kind of in preparation. And when I asked her, why did you decide to do this? She was like, well, this is how people knew me. My kids would go to school for special occasions. I'd pack these sugar cookies and the teachers loved them, like the friends' parents loved them. And she was, I was really proud of this. And so for her, and it seems like several other people, it was just something that when you think about how do I want to be memorialized, it was through a recipe, which is so cool.
You like to cook, obviously.
Yeah. I would say leading into this, I like to eat. Like I was not a particularly good cook. My parents are both, I think my parents are great cooks, but they're much more in the kind of intuitive, throw things into a pot and it somehow works out. And so it wasn't really until the pandemic that I had time to really think about like the art of cooking. And so even a lot of these early gravestone recipes, I had never heard of a spritz cookie before. So I cooked it like a sugar cookie. And it was through like crowdsourcing on TikTok when people were like, you know, you're supposed to use a cookie press for this, which I also had never heard of. So I bought a cookie press. And now in the process, I've bought an ice cream maker. I own 4 different cookie presses. I've learned to experiment with yeast, like how yeast and like rising and things like that. So really like learning how to cook from the dead at this point, which has been actually kind of cool.
Yeah. And how do you find out about these gravestones? I mean, do you use like, well, you can't just search recipes on Find a Grave, which is one of the sites. The sites the genealogists use. It really is word of mouth, right?
Yeah, no, literally. I mean, Find a Grave has been incredible as far as like learning about the people and of course, like trying to map out. So this started out with Atlas Obscura, which is so great for like cemetery content and storytelling. And their articles are very well researched. So a lot of cemetery TikTokers actually will use Atlas Obscura. And so that was how I heard about the first 3 of them. And then even just honestly, Google searching, a couple of these women, their gravestones became known just because of like local press. One was featured in a blog. One was featured in, there's a kibbutz chef in Israel and he was featured in a magazine. And so like literally just through keywords. And then one I found on Twitter, just someone had been like, oh, my mom's Louisiana peach cobbler is there. And then another woman I found because someone had posted recipe gravestone on Instagram, but they misspelled recipe. And I did the same thing. I accidentally misspelled recipe in one of my posts and was looking through it. And I was, oh, I misspelled it. And it saw that there was another post tag to it. So I clicked on it and it was another gravestone recipe. And I was like, holy cow, this is amazing. So it's been very much like truly just online. I haven't discovered any of these organically at this point. I've gone to a lot of cemeteries, but I haven't just found them. That would be incredible one day. And then now at this point, just because the story is getting out there, families have started reaching out being like, you know, this was my mom's carrot cake, or this was my mom's cheese dip and things like that.
So how many recipes have you collected at this point?
Almost 20. So I'm getting up there, mostly still all in North America, almost all women, like particularly grandmothers, and almost all of them have been desserts.
Well, I love dessert.
Yeah, it's great.
It's great. Let's talk about TikTok.
Let's talk about
TikTok. I love TikTok. I'm totally obsessed with TikTok. You mentioned Grave Talk, which is a hashtag sort of like of all the things you can find relating to gravestones and gravestone studies.
Oh, yeah.
Grave Talk.
Grave Talk. Yeah. I mean, TikTok kind of exists and social media in general exists as niches, but I think TikTok has like, it's so simplified and condensed down to you pick a niche and like this becomes what you focus on. And like, so the class that I was taking was all how social media and algorithms work. And our professor was like, you have to pick one niche and post about it every single day for 3 months. You have to create a whole video every single day for 3 months. I almost dropped the class when I heard this because I'm like, that's so much work. And she's like, you can keep it really simple. Just like, you have to be consistent. Talk about your niche every single day. And so these niches and communities like Grave Talk or Cemetery TikTok have really kind of unearthed themselves. And I had no idea that this was such a world of people who, and Grave Talk can be anything from people telling stories of gravestones, doing gravestone preservation. A lot of gravestone cleaners are on it. And so my niche has now become food and gravestones. And weirdly, there is a whole niche around that as well. And so, yeah, like for anyone interested in TikTok, it does not matter what your topic is. There is probably a community for it.
And what's your TikTok handle?
My TikTok handle is Ghostly Archive, as is the Instagram. And it feels a little bit, I mean, it literally was a class project of like, I'm like, oh, I'm doing cemetery archives. And so I'm like, that's kind of where it came up. It almost feels like when you think back to your like AOL address from the 90s or your AIM, which was sometimes a little embarrassing, where I'm like, oh, if I had known that I would be saying it this often and it would be on like national TV of Ghostly Archive. And I'm like, I mean, not to say that I wouldn't have picked that, but it feels very much of my embarrassing like AAM day.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that feel the same way, Rosie. Yeah. But before you started this project and before you started the internship, I mean, did you ever think about cemeteries and go to cemeteries and wander around in them? I mean, genealogists do that all the time. It's like an excursion, you know, it's a happy day. They go off and they, you know, look for odd things in the cemetery. But I mean, you did this as an internship. You found this internship, which then led you to cemeteries, right? It wasn't like you love cemeteries and then you went this way, or was it?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of both. I would say, I mean, at this point now, I'm all in on cemeteries. Whenever I travel, I'll go to a cemetery. But I would say leading into it, it wasn't that I was like, I think some people have a very strict, I will never go to a cemetery. I find it unsettling. And I totally understand that. DC has some very, I would say, like active cemeteries that are really trying to be engaged with the local community, partially for the sake of helping to keep it around. I think Congressional used to be a pretty derelict cemetery, even in the 90s, of just bad stuff would happen there. It wasn't, you know, the gravestones were crumbling apart. They didn't really have caretakers or preservationists, things like that. And then eventually they got connected to the local community. And now they have these very popular programs, tours. They have a dog walking program that's a 3-year waiting list to be able to bring your dog into the cemetery. The dog walkers have to pay a fee that helps to keep up gravestone preservation. They have to volunteer every year, like they have to do so many hours, and that's just to walk their dog. They have these really fun social nights, book clubs, movie nights. They're very engaged with the community. And the cemetery now has an archivist, and they have a whole team of people who, if a gravestone falls apart, they can clean it up and help bring it back. So I think I'd already been aware of that. I should also add, my parents are both ghost tour guides. So it wasn't the most unusual thing to like go into a cemetery. I mean, they love it from the history side of things. This is their, especially for my dad, this was his retirement dream to be a historical tour guide. So I'd been to cemeteries off and on, but definitely nothing the way, I had no idea for the level of how much history just walking down a row of graves is, of like, oh, well, like this guy and this guy are buried next to each other. They would have fought like cats and dogs in life. This is so funny that they're now neighbors, things like that.
Yeah. I mean, I collect photographs on gravestones, obviously, and they're so cool because often the photographs are not like the last picture that was taken of these people. It's like some photograph that the family thought was really made them really attractive. There's a guy who dies in the, you know, 1990s, and there's a photograph of him from the 1930s.
Wow.
So it's very cool. But I love the whole idea of the recipes on the gravestones. I mean, obviously these are all modern gravestones, meaning the last, what, 20 years, maybe?
Yeah, thereabouts. The oldest one is from like 1994. So these are very recent, which obviously, so you're familiar with gravestones. A lot of people are like, oh, are these from the 1800s? And I'm like, no, that was definitely not a trend. It's a very modern trend, of course, to have photographs, have a picture of your dog, have a QR code, like list your favorite book quote or, you know, whatever. Versus in the olden days, it felt very much of like something spiritual, maybe say like mother, wife, child, father, whatever. Yeah. So it's cool to see modern gravestones. Like people want to be memorialized and remembered in so many different ways.
They do. This is just so great. I mean, so you have 20. I know there's got to be more out there. And
so
I know that people listening to the podcast are going to be like, hey, wait, I know of one in my local cemetery.
Like, gosh, that would be amazing. Whether it's a recipe or anything food related, I'm here for it all. They can find me at Ghostly Archive. And now you can start messaging people on TikTok. But the easiest thing in the past for people to reach out has been messaging on Instagram. You can also go to my Linktree, which is Linktree at Ghostly Archive, and just send a message. So whatever is the easiest way, like, I'm here for it all. Sometimes people will share like, oh, I just know of a cool graveyard in my neighborhood that I think everyone should go visit. So all of the above, I'm totally interested in if people want to connect about it.
I have a question for you about the recipes. So my father's mother had a signature dish, right? And she was like your parents. Everything just went in the pot. And my mom like totally wanted this recipe before my grandmother died. And so my grandmother wrote it down and then my mom made it and it was terrible. And so my mom was, you know, completely like, what is wrong with this recipe? This is not right. So she bought all the ingredients and had my grandmother make it for her in front of her. And she was like, yeah, the measurements you gave me don't quite match your little like handful of things that go in the pot. And, you know, the sort of pinch of this and pinch of that. So that said, knowing recipes reflect the person making it, and this two people can make the same recipe and it can come out totally different, right? Have you found any recipes that you've made that like don't quite live up to what they should?
Yes. That's so funny you say that, because I think like a lot of people who started at the beginning of the pandemic, I got a New York Times cooking subscription, which is like extremely well curated. The description and of course the comments of how to make something are very well thought out and practiced. And a lot of these are, I'm sure, I mean, they might have used a recipe in life, but it felt like very much some of these might have just been a little bit more, they already knew how to make it. And so there's this fudge recipe. It's the grave of Kay Andrews, and she's buried in Utah. And I have never to this day made it correctly. And I like, you know, it's either too soupy or too liquidy. And I was really scratching my head about this. And like the phrasing and the instructions, because this one does have instructions, are a little bit like, if you already know what it is, I'm sure it's easier. But if you don't know what it is, there's a lot of room for error. And a lot of people have commented, particularly with the chocolate, it says 2 squares of chocolate. That's not a real measurement. Like that could, when you say like just 2 baking squares, like that's one size. A lot of people are like, it needs way more chocolate than like a modern day bar of chocolate or whatever for baking. And so even when I went and visited this woman's grave, and I had my really not that great fudge that it was more kind of in honor of, well, thank you for giving this recipe. Like I'll make it correctly one day. And there was another family there, also not related, who had made her fudge, brought it to her grave. And they also were like, yeah, we tried like 50% and then gave up and then just added condensed milk. And like, that was not set on the gravestone, but they're like, we just knew that that would make it taste good. So we like added our own flip. Yeah. So, and then 2 of the other gravestones are written in Hebrew. And so I had them translated. I work at AJU in Los Angeles. And so one of the librarians reads and speaks Hebrew. So she translated it, but it only translates the ingredients. And I was reading an interview with the family and they were like, well, if you already know how to cook, you'll know what to do with these ingredients. And I was like, that's not me. So the librarian very kindly sent me like 4 or 5 other recipes. She's like, it kind of looks like kind of either like a babka or something similar to this. So she's like, basically take these ingredients and compare it to these instructions and you'll kind of have something come out of it. So that is so true as far as the recipe and the recipe maker.
Yeah. And have you reached out to any of the families, the descendants of these people?
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as like reaching out to them, because I would say like all of this got started last year. So half of 2022 for me was just the awareness of these graves existing. And then it felt a little bit like detective work in the sense of like, so first learning about the grave existing, some of them, like I would get a photo from like someone would send in like, oh, here's a picture of one. And I would have to figure out where the gravestone was, who it was, because sometimes the name would be on the opposite side and the person would be like, I don't remember who this grave belongs to. So I'd have to do some digging. And then when I would get to the person, find an obituary online. And some of these obituaries, I mean, they're very detailed, but as far as naming family members, it might be Kat G or Sarah S. And like the most information that's given. And so sometimes they have the same last name as the person who is buried there, but sometimes they don't. And so I feel like it's been the only one that I was able to find was Naomi's, just because they were interviewed a couple of times. It's a really, really beautiful gravestone. It looks like a cookbook. So I had found the name Richard before. And then thanks to one of the interviews, they actually, you know, we sent along the information and Inside Edition was able to contact them and we cooked the recipe together. And then the rest of them have been the families reaching out themselves of just like, hey, I heard about this. I think you should try my mom's carrot cake. One woman, her name is Deborah. She's buried in Iowa and her daughter reached out and very kindly sent her cookbook that she had given out at her funeral of her recipes that her mom had made. She's a really, it's one of the only savory gravestones too. It's a cheese dip that's so good. And so that was a really cool. And now I have Deborah Ann's cookbook in my like cooking books, and it's all of our recipes. I've made three of them so far and they're so good. So I think ideally in 2023, I would love to meet with more families if they're open to it, totally based off of like, none of them asked for this level. Like some of these had already gotten some media and attention and press, but what it's turned into of just if they're interested in, you know, cooking together. And I'm sure there's a lot of like lost in translation from the gravestone.
Yeah. I mean, this was unexpected, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
You're thinking I'd have to get through this school project. It's 3 months of just, you know, it's a lot of work to post every day. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot more work to post to TikTok every day.
Yes.
I mean,
absolutely. That's
a lot of time and effort. You've got to think it through. You got to plot it out. You've got to edit it. It's a lot of work.
It's so much work. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. It feels like working out every day, and it's just a creative muscle. When I literally almost dropped the class, the TikTok algorithm is so ingrained in like people who post content every day, which yeah, it's like very silly when you're, oh, whatever the TikTok algorithm gods want kind of thing. But it's a pretty regimented of frequency of posting and posting on the same type of topic or niche every day. It does work. I mean, the majority of our class, we had to have one viral content that was part of our project in the class. Which
you have control over that?
Exactly. Well, so I worked in social media for years and I was like, you can't just, because obviously if you've worked in social media or communications or you're some sort of like digital content manager, probably at some point in your career, you'll get a boss being like, just go viral, like just do it. And you're like, you can't control that. And according to this professor, with a ton of work, you kind of can. There's ways to make it more likely that you can. So about a third of our class, the goal was to get 10,000 views on a fresh piece of content over 7 days. So you would post it on a Monday and by Friday, you had to have 10,000 views. I was sweating buckets when this was happening. I mean, it went viral. So if nothing else, I'm like, I got an A in the class.
That's amazing.
The professor actually who taught this class, she's an information science professor, and her specific TikTok is about privacy concerns of like, you have no idea what you are giving these companies access to. And so, yeah, I'm worried about TikTok, but I'm equally worried about Instagram and Facebook. I don't really trust, but therefore I also am completely complicit in all of this. I'm putting content in all the platforms and just being like, well, that's the universe it exists in. I pretty much use TikTok, and I started using Instagram just because I thought TikTok might get banned. So it's virtually the same content. And then I'll occasionally use Instagram to do like polls and like talk to people, because like you can chat a little bit more easily on Instagram than TikTok. I've been learning about funerary foods. And so I was curious what people's funeral foods, like whatever, if they have something. Learned lots of potato recipes and lots of sheet cakes. And so things like that are really fun to do on Instagram, because you can actually like get a back and forth and like learn from people who are interested in this.
So this is a fairly new thing for you, and this is going to evolve, and you probably can't even see how it's going to evolve at this point. And you're just along for the ride.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, my goal in all of this was I wanted to be a librarian. And so, but I would say death and food have always been interesting topics. I've always been very afraid of my own mortality. And so I think for this has been a way to kind of explore like a healthier side to it. I learned about like the death positive movement in this, which is the idea that society and people, individuals are healthier off if you are aware of your own mortality. And I think genealogists and archivists are the most aware of this, of we will eventually move on, but our things and memories and important items will remain. And like, how do we want to preserve that? And so that's kind of been my way to like grapple with these heavier topics. And then, of course, food is like such a nice entry point to harder topics. I don't want to think about death and talk about that with my parents, but like we can talk about cooking and be, how do you want to be remembered? And what do you want your celebration of your life to look like? And things like that, which has been really cool.
Rosie Grant, thank you so much for being on The Photo Detective.
Thank you so much for having me.
Fantastic project. And people can reach you at
Ghostly Archive or Ghostly Archive. Instagram.
Great, 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 great. Thank you so much. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media, leave me a rating and a review. And if you know of a friend or family member who's also interested in family photographs, share this episode with them too. See you next time. I'm thrilled to be offering something new. Photo Investigations. These collaborative one-on-one sessions look at your family photos. You and I meet to discuss your mystery images and find out how each clue and hint might contribute to your family history. And trust me, these images can reveal so much in your research. I have decades of experience in the photo, genealogy, and history industries. This is your chance to learn from me and discover the stories in your family images. You can find out more by going to MaureenTaylor.com and clicking on Family Photo Investigations.